Well, good morning, folks. A couple of weeks ago, he's not here now, is he? Where's Jonathan gone? He's gone out again. All right, okay, that's fine. I could say it. A couple of weeks ago, Jonathan Brown was sharing with us on the whole thing of faith and works, and I found it very stirring and very challenging. And we're looking at that whole thing of, is it about works or is it about faith? And I loved his throwaway comment that it would have been handy if maybe the Apostle Paul and James had got together to agree together before they both wrote. But as we know, it wasn't that they're writing something different, but it is that the church struggles at times with the interpretation and the outworking of what it means. And not just our church today, the great Martin Luther reformer struggled with the whole issue. And that's why he called the Epistle of James an epistle of straw, is that he struggled with that whole thing of doing as against believing. And one of the things that Jonathan was saying was that it is not one or the other. It was not about, do we have actions and activity or do we have faith? But it is the marriage of both of them together. And that marriage brings us to the place of being. And I found that very challenging, because at times it is easy to fill our life with doing. It is easy to do the activity. It's easy to be involved in lots. And on the other side, it's also easy to do the learning and think it's all about the head knowledge and what we have, when the challenge is the head knowledge with the heart knowledge and the response that it causes within us as his people. Norman has already, nothing to do with what we're looking at today, I wanted to say thank you to Jonathan, but he's not here, I'll catch him later. Norman's already said today's the day of Pentecost, and we join with the church around the world in celebrating the coming of the Spirit on the early church. But as you know, Pentecost wasn't a Christian festival. Pentecost was a Jewish festival, as all the festivals were. And it was the festival of two things that the Jews remembered at Pentecost. One, it was the giving of the law to Moses on Sinai. And secondly, it was the barley harvest, when they celebrated the ingathering. And how appropriate that when we come to the Feast of Pentecost, that is the day when the Spirit comes upon the church. It celebrates that the law has been given, but it also celebrates that the Spirit has been given. It celebrates the doing, it celebrates the being. And we join with the rest of the world today in celebrating the coming of the Spirit. But it wasn't just for a day. Apostle Paul said, keep being filled with the Spirit. Let it be a daily, ongoing infilling. And that's a challenge for us, that it's not about when we came to faith, when we met Jesus, when we were infilled with the Spirit, but what is continuing to happen on a day-to-day basis in our life. And that's a challenge. And the Spirit was given to us for the power of witness, for evangelism, and for mission, but it was also given for daily life. How we live out our daily life, we need the infilling of the Spirit of God. What I want to look at today, and have you seen your sheet? I called it One Day. And you will never understand or guess what it is just from the title, but we will unpick it a bit. One Day is what we're going to be looking at this morning. I come across something when I was, a couple of weeks ago, thinking about today. And I come across a poem, and I don't know who it's by, and I don't know whether it's come from a Christian context or not, but it set something off in me. David, are you ready to put the lights off in a second? I'm going to read it to you. And it's called This Too Will Pass. This too will pass. O heart, say it over and over. Out of your deepest sorrows, out of your deepest grief, no heart can last forever. Perhaps tomorrow will bring relief. This too will pass. It will spend itself. Its fury will die as the wind dies with the setting sun. Assuaged and calm, you will rest again, forgetting a thing that is done. Repeat it again and again, O heart, for your comfort. This too will pass, as surely as pass before the old forgotten pain and the other sorrows that you once bore. As certain as stars at night or dawn after darkness, inherent as the lift of the blowing grass, whatever your despair or your frustration, this too will pass. I want us to listen to a song that I came across which really sparked something off me. David, can you put the lights out on that, maybe see if we see it? I'd like to put that song on at a good volume, please.
see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
One day, the hope of all of us, that's our hope that we sit here today with. Not that we won't go through the struggles of life, we all will. Not that we won't have the difficulties that we face, we're promised nothing different from the rest of the world. But what we're promised is His presence, His help in time of trouble, His hand to take us through. As Bishop T.J. Jakes, an American black Pentecostal pastor, who said this, "Never make a permanent decision based upon a temporary storm. No matter how raging the billows are today, remind yourself, this too will pass." That's tremendously reassuring, that when we go through the difficulties of life, the questions that we can't answer, He is the answer, and this too will pass. Let's read a little bit about that one day. Revelation 21. And starting at verse 1. The aged John sitting on the island of Patmos in exile, cut off from everyone, coming to the end of his life. And God gave him a glimpse, just a glimpse of what was ahead. What was that one day that was coming for John and is coming for us? And he said this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be their God. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away.' And He who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And He said, 'Write these words, for they are faithful and true.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things. I will be his God, and he will be my son." One day. That's the hope that lies before each one of us who have bowed the knee to Jesus, that a day is coming. In the midst of all of the tragedy, in the midst of all of the problems of this world that we see, there is a promise that this is not the end, that there is another day coming. For a few minutes, I want to look at a few verses and a well-known story that we find in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4 and verses 34 to 39. And it's about Jesus still in the raging storms. And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them, and just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they awoke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And being aroused, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the seas obey him?" Fantastic parable and story Jesus telling. You know the story. They're out in Galilee. These are fishermen. These are men who's from boyhood spent their life on the seas. They would have seen storms come and go many a time in their career. But something was different about the storms this time. Now, a few of us have been on Galilee, and we've been on it during the day when it's lovely and calm and sunshine, and we take cruises out there, and there's been worshiping on the boats, and we broke bread and had communion on boats, and think, this is wonderful. It's also the same sea that almost in an instant could turn and could have huge storms upon it. And these men knew that. And caught in the midst of the storm, they obviously thought their end had come. The boat was already taken in water. They're far out from the shore. They couldn't swim ashore. What's going to happen? One of the things that we're promised is that storms will come. Storms will come. But the challenge for us in the midst of the storms is, where do we set our focus? When we're in the midst of the storms of life, the crises that we all face from time to time, if we live long enough, and for those young amongst us, your turn will come. We all face storms, we all face difficulties, we all face challenges. And they come in all sorts of ways: jobs, careers, finances, health, relationships, all sorts of issues. Life is never straightforward, it is always very complex. So the one thing that we are assured of is storms will come. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, because I have already overcome the world. So there is a promise that storms will come for all of us. But in the midst of that, the challenge is, where do we set our focus? And it is so easy for our natural, soulish life to rise up, as it did with the apostles. They'd been with Jesus for almost 3 years. They'd seen the miracles. They'd walked with him, talked with him, slept with him. They knew what he was about. But yet, this was a sudden crisis that they were facing. And you can imagine that everything they'd learned suddenly evaporates. And what they are faced with is the imminent peril and danger that they faced. Could this be the end for us? Jesus, don't you care? How on earth could you be sleeping in the back of the boat when all this is going on? We're not talking about cruise liners here, where he wouldn't know what's going on. Tiny little boats on Galilee, he knew what was going on. But he was at peace in the midst of it, while the rest fretted. Jesus learned rest and peace in the midst of his storms. Easier said than done. Different people, different temperaments, different personalities, different people react differently to stress. But there's one thing that's consistent. He's in the midst of the storm with you. And that is the reassurance for all of us, irrespective of how we are in our natural makeup and how we deal with things. There is a promise that he who changes not is with each one of us, that he takes our hands, that he guides us, that he keeps us. He also had authority over the storms, and he gives us that authority as well. as his children. That's what we started today about, looking at Pentecost. Pentecost was the coming of the Spirit of God in power to empower us for witness, but to empower us for life. He gives us the authority. We can think, well, who me? That's all right for Jesus. That's all right for the apostles. That's all right for church leaders. But me? He makes no differential between any of his children. That authority is given to each one of us. If we've bowed the knee to Jesus, if we've come into him in a relationship with him, if we've been filled by his Spirit, then there is an authority that has been given to each one of us. And often where we need that authority is in the midst of the storms, when we've not got all of everybody around us. It is so easy to come together on a Sunday or come in a group with others around us. But where are you in the storm when it's just you and the storm? How do you feel then? How do you react then? The disciples found Jesus in the midst of that storm, at peace. But he was able to take the authority and to speak and to say, enough. Enough. And that's the promise that each one of us has. Scripture says to us, nothing has overcome us. Nothing. But he is in charge. He is with us. He will guide us. He will keep us. There is nothing that will destroy us because we're in him. We may not get the answers that we want to life's problems. We may still go through the difficulties. We may have to run in him and find in him the strong tower without the answers. But find in him our rest, our peace, a place of well-being, a place of security in the midst of the storm. But the promise is, I'm there. You don't go through that storm alone. No easy answers, real problems, real hurts, real wounds, real difficulties to face. But where is our focus? Sometimes there are lessons for us to learn from the very eye of the storm. And if you think about the eye of the storm, and we think about the hurricanes and the most peaceful place would seem to be in the very center of it. When you talk about the eye of the storm and all was calm and that, all around it could be raging. And that's the challenge to you and to me. What's the lessons that we learn in the eye of the storm? When we have to go through the circumstances, the difficult situations, the situations we have no easy answer for, what's the lessons that we learn in the midst of that? When Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. How can I be of good cheer in the midst of trouble? Do I just have to keep going in a different direction? Do I have to fool myself into saying the circumstance is not as bad as it is? No, it's not that. The circumstances are real, but he is more real. Because in the midst of it, he sees the beginning from the end from the beginning, and he's already promised to take our hand and to take us through the storms. There's lessons there for us to learn in the midst. Psalm 27 and 1 says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. You see, even death is a shadow. It's not the reality. It's a passing phase. It is a doorway into the full light and the glory of God, which is the reality. The reality is one day, we will see him face to face. One day, we will know him as we've been known. The Apostle Paul said this, we see in part. We see through a glass dimly. We see vague shadows. But one day we will see him face to face. One day we will know him as he has known us. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. We sing, taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. Where do we set our focus? Because where we set our focus will eventually become our direction of travel. And our direction of travel will eventually become our destiny. So where we set our focus ultimately affects the destiny, where we're going to end up. The call for us is in the storm, not to look at the circumstances, but to look at him who's above the circumstances and above the storm. Keep our focus on him, even when it is desperately difficult and we're going through the hardest of times. This too will pass, because one day there is a glorious new start for all of us. One of my heroes of the faith, Charles Wesley, that great hymn writer who had travelled with his brother, founded the Methodist movement, who wrote, I think it was 3,000 hymns. I probably know about half a dozen. He wrote about 3,000 hymns in his time. Aged 81, lying on his deathbed. Fixed his eyes upon the greatness of God. His last thoughts recorded were about Psalm 73, specifically verses 25 and 26, which says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And as he reflected on these verses, he called his wife to his bedside and he dictated his last words. And as we go through scripture, last words are always very important. Blessings are always very important. What did somebody say? What were the last words? Well, here's Charles Wesley's last words. He wrote this: "In age and feebleness extreme, what shall a sinful worm redeem? Jesus, my only hope thou art, strength of my failing flesh and heart. Oh, could I catch a smile from thee and drop into eternity." Wonderful. "In age and feebleness extreme, what shall a sinful worm redeem? Jesus, my only hope thou art, strength of my failing flesh and heart. Oh, could I catch a smile from thee and drop into eternity." What a way to go. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4 and 17, said this: "For our present troubles are small. They won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." So we don't look at the troubles we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things which cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Our attitude affects our altitude. Our focus affects our direction of travel. The writer of the Hebrews said this, Hebrews 12, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in us will see it through to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." The Apostle Jude said this in summing up: "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and evermore." God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we do not fear. He who sees the sun will see no shadows. God will take our hand. We sing a song. One of the songs we sing is "In Christ Alone." And it says this in the last verse: "No guilt in life, no fear in death. this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry till final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Isn't that reassuring, folks? Whatever we go through, from life's first breath, or life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands our destiny. That's the security that we are in today, folks. He who has called us is faithful. He will see us through to the end. Let's fix our eyes on him who is the author and the perfecter. And when we don't have the answers, when we are breaking our heart, when there are circumstances and situations that arise that there is no easy answer for, he still is faithful, who will guide, keep, and deliver us. He will still be our strong tower, our shelter, the one in whom we can run and hide. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you that you are our strong tower. Thank you that in the midst of life, when we have the difficulties, you're faithful. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your peace that guides, guards, keeps, and shepherds us into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I've asked the band to come and to finish off with a song.